So what were you saying? You got to head on out and you're going to do a quick service call?
Yeah, so customers' Wi-Fi is gone off. Their hardwired devices are not are working fine, but I think a PoE switch has either been turned off or has failed, which can happen, you know, power surge or device connected to the switch can sometimes be a route into that switch for some issues.
Yeah.
Whether it's a surge or something. But I have spares.
Taken back. I was going to ask, you take them back up just in case?
I do. I always keep 2 8-port PoE Unify switches in my van.
Yeah, yeah.
Minimum of one, because not just for faults, you know, very rarely for faults, it's normally to expand a network and you know, I need some extra ports or I need some PoE, whether it's for a camera or a Wi-Fi access point or a doorbell, you know, thinking of PoE products now that we're using regularly, it's useful to have a network switch tucked away in the back of the van.
Yeah, we always carry network switches and HDMI cables and surge protectors and just all kinds of goodies in the back, because when you get out to a client's house, we try to utilize what they have. Sometimes it's just not appropriate for the installation that we're doing. And sometimes they just need it. So yeah, we carry all kinds of goodies. I can't say that we carry PoE switches on our truck, but definitely carry gigabit switches. You've seen some images on our Instagram page in the past where we'll come across the client's house and never fails. They're all of the network wires and coax wires all come together, and we can most of the times find them in all disarray, similar to what you'd find most racks, just a nest of wires. And the intent is to distribute the network hardwired throughout the property. And majority of the time, that's not the case. And so we carry these network switches in our trucks and terminate all those Cat 5 or Cat 6 wires and distribute it appropriately the right way there at the house. So yeah, man. So did you have a good weekend?
I was packing more boxes. It's been my weekends for the last 3 weeks. Just packing boxes, packing my life away, getting ready to shift and reopen it in a new property.
Yeah, I like some of those images that you sent over to me. Yeah, that old Sony CD Walkman. Yeah,
I know. Do you know that was such a travel companion of mine when I was younger. When I was in the military, I traveled all over the world with the job I had in particular. I was part of an installation team, a tech team, but installing military tech around the globe, British embassies, Ministry of Defense buildings, war zones, peaceful zones, all sorts of places. And my trusty Walkman CD player was my companion until I shifted over to MP3 players. Remember, I didn't have the iPod, the original iPod. Initially, I had another brand. I can't remember what it was. Arcos, something like that. And it was, you could have like 600 tracks on your MP3 player, and you'd plug it into my big PC I had back in my room in the military base where I was serving. And the selection process of what tracks I would have for this trip if I was away for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Just think now the convenience of having your music, any track, any album, audio books,
anytime,
YouTube. Oh, it's just, we're so fortunate. I talked to my eldest and I say, you don't know how lucky you are, Jack. You've got everything at your fingertips, everything.
It's so different. I remember my dad, back in the day, he owned a hardware store, and one Christmas, he surprised me with a massive realistic Rocks. And it's when breakdancing was just coming on the scene and beatboxing. And I had this giant boom box with like 2 6-inch drivers on either side and a cassette player, you know, in the middle with, and it was all FM, AM radio. And I had the antenna that you'd fold up. And I was talking to Hope, my wife, the other day of, you know, just thinking back about sitting around on a Friday night and listening to like the countdown of what the top song was for the week. And on the phone with my friend about betting on who was going to be the top song, you know, and it was like Motley Crue, Smoking in the Boys Room, or Tears for Fears, or, you know, that 80s time frame. And it was just so much fun, you know, just thinking back about those times. And then that boom box that my dad had, golly, man, that thing went with me everywhere. And Gimbal, I think I still have that thing too. The first cassette I ever got was Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA. I think it came with the boom box. And man, I blasted that forever. I think I ran that tape dry.
Yeah, I was, when you were, you know, you reminded me with that CD player that if you tried running with it or jogging, it was just a disaster, you know, compared to the convenience of, you know, now we've got like wearable tech, Apple Watches, AirPods, you know, you can have your music stored in your watch, you know, your podcast. I generally put some episodes on my watch for podcasts that I'm listening to. And if I go out for a walk or attempt a run, which is rare, but the music's stored on my wearable tech and it's there, Bluetooth streaming to my headphones. It's so convenient. But, you know, this week and last week, for whatever reason, we've had a real uptick in customers having conversations with us about their audio. I don't know what's been the result of that, but lots of people inquiring about upgrading their existing music systems. Still people wanting to discover streaming-based systems, wanting to transition from CD, in some cases vinyl, but we're encouraging them to still retain the vinyl, but upgrade the kind of back end of it with the amplifiers and the streaming capabilities. It continues to have its spikes and moments where you have these regular conversations with customers about audio. Are you seeing people still wanting to improve and grow their music systems?
You know, I think the kind of nostalgia that I was just discussing about my boombox and the cassette player also is true with vinyl. And so, yeah, man, I'm actually having quite a bit of conversations with clients about vinyl players and good quality audio. Streaming is for convenience, but actually, you know, opening up a good record and looking at the graphics inside and pulling that vinyl out of the sleeve and dropping the needle down on it and hearing the crackle, you know, that record and the warmth of the tonality that vinyl provides you with is different than what you would find from a download or from streaming. I think it's also the ritual that people really enjoy with vinyl. And I don't know, it's like sitting down with a nice cognac or glass of wine and really enjoying the vibes of vinyl versus, you know, going for a jog and streaming something. I think that there's two different, you know, places. And so, yeah, I think people, because they're spending more time at the house, they are investing in themselves and also being very nostalgic about, you know, the days of past, but being able to actually relive it in a certain sense and share it with their families. So, yeah, I see a lot of that conversation happening.
I've wondered that, you know, mid-January, early February, conversations we're having. I wonder, and I was talking to Anna about this, and I said, I wonder if people have got a little bit of screen fatigue. you know, they've come out of the holiday period and they've indulged in box sets and movies and late nights. And maybe they just, they don't want to stare at a screen, and they're starting to think of maybe we should just listen to some music tonight. Maybe we can just listen to a concert. Maybe we can listen to a radio station or a podcast or a playlist. Or I wondered if it was a hangover of too much screen time over the holiday period.
Dude, we've watched so much streaming, you know, late night streaming, because, you know, we're busy, you know, 12 hour days being business owners, minimum 12 hour days being business owners. But whenever I come home, you know, it's nice for Hope and I to sit back and watch a movie. We actually got done watching a series called All American, mm-hmm. which was a good Netflix streaming series, and we enjoyed that one. Been watching a couple of movies too. On Samsung, what I like about Samsung is it comes with a preloaded Samsung TV app. Do y'all have that over in the UK?
Yeah, there are some channels available on that, on demand type channels.
And so straight out of the box, without an off-air antenna, as long as you have internet and good internet connection, you can start watching. I don't know, man, they got like 40 channels on there. And
some of them are Ultra HD as well.
Okay. Yeah. And I like the sports channels, the outdoor channels. They have a couple of news channels. I mean, they have some music channels. So I think it's a really good selection. But more so, if you're watching a program and you hit the down arrow, it kind of this tile guide pops up. And if you navigate down through there, they have just a tremendous amount of free movies to choose from. And we've been kind of stumbled across that and been looking at their movie selection. I also downloaded another app called Tubi, T-U-B-I, I think is how you spell it. They got a lot of cool free movies on there as well. The ability to access free content is everywhere. Like, you really can be entertained. You know, if sitting around and watching nonsense all day is entertaining.
If you've got that connectivity, that's
the key.
Becomes so apparent and so obvious when you don't have that connectivity, that people can feel a bit disconnected, lost, that they, I can't get this connection, therefore I can't access this music in the cloud, this TV in the cloud, this movie in the cloud, some of my own personal data in the cloud. And that's why we encourage things like backup 4G connections for people's internet. We encourage unlimited data plans, so they don't get caught out by reaching a restriction or limit. And because it's horrible when you, even if your internet's offline, you know. Well, I guess, kids, we're going to have to read a book or play some board games or watch, you know, linear TV, you know, that TV that we lived for decades and decades. And then streaming, which is about a 10-year-old phenomena, has just wiped it out. And it's new tech. I was listening to another podcast this morning and they were talking about something and they related it to, but, you know, we think about it being around a long time, you know, multi-room music, streaming music, but you're talking only 12, 13 years, which is just a blip in the technology cycle.
You know, Gamble, I mean, I think this is a great transition in what we're going to be talking about today, which is Wi-Fi. And I think today we're going to highlight my favorite wireless mesh solution, which is the Eero 6. And, you know, as we say, probably, Gamble, I would put money down, I think, here recently, in every episode we talk about the importance of having a reliable network. And it is the foundation to everything that a smart home is built on. Like, don't pass go with smart home if you have a crappy network connection and wireless distribution in the house. And when I talk about wireless distribution, I'm talking about wireless mesh, not access points, for us. I'm all about the wireless mesh, and you know, part of the keeping it reals. Like last week, we talked about Ring, and man, was that a fantastic episode? And we kind of trolled. Well, not trolled. I think trolled is a negative. But we reviewed the Ring users group and some of the comments and posts that people had. Great episode. If y'all didn't listen to it, check it out. It's episode 120. You can find it on our website, the digitalrambleshow.com, and listen to it or gamble. We're on 11 streaming podcast services, so anybody can go and find our episodes via podcast. But yeah, this week we're going to kind of keep on that Reels family and go into Eero. And Eero, man, we've been using Eero for years.
What is Eero? What does Eero consist of? And also, you mentioned Eero 6, which we'll talk about later because I want to know what the 6 means. But Eero is a mesh Wi-Fi system. It's a replacement system to cover your whole house with Wi-Fi, and it comes with plug-in repeaters and routers. What's a normal system consist of for the average home?
Actually, it's they're wireless mesh points, and each one, other than their beacons, and a beacon, and I'll start with that one because it's different than the rest of the Eeros that you can purchase. And a beacon is a wireless mesh extender. And let's say you have a gray spot of network in your house, you can plug it into an electrical outlet, and then it kind of lights up that area. And it's a repeater, so it takes the signal that it's receiving from your mesh point and re-amplifies it in that area. And what's cool about it is not only is the hardware easy to use, they have a super cool app that tells you during the setup if where you placed it is appropriate. And my coolest thing that I like to see is you placed it like a pro, you know, or you placed it good, or you need to look for a better location. There is no, this is okay, you can leave it there. It's like, it's either a pro or it's good, or you need to relocate. There's no, we'll see if we can make it work here or not. So there's a base minimum of placement. But the Eero mesh points, there's the Eero Pro, which is probably my favorite. And it allows you to do 2.4 and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi throughout your home. And pretty much any newer device or any device probably in the past several years can do 5 gigahertz connectivity. And 2.4 gigahertz gets you good, reliable connectivity, but has a farther range of wireless access, whereas 5 gigahertz is a narrower range of connectivity, but the speeds are much higher for connectivity with your devices. And with the Eero mesh, they all communicate with each other, whereas access points, if you move from one area of the house to another area that has a secondary access point, your device has to literally go to zero before it even considers looking for another wireless connection in the house. Whereas mesh points are a little bit more intelligent to where it knows where your device is in the house, not necessarily physically, but it says, hey, the device that you're closest to actually has 80% versus the one that you were connected to in the other room has 30%. Let's go ahead and switch you over automatically without any type of interruption in your connectivity, which makes it convenient. I remember early on when we were doing wireless and Apple AirPlay was a big deal. And it was prior to mesh points. And I think a lot of our listeners will understand this when I explain what the problem we found is that clients would be streaming AirPlay and they had access points and they're walking throughout their house and their music would stop because there wasn't a big enough buffer for it to catch up on the next access point because it had to go to zero. Zero means no signal. And before it could catch up back up. And so for a while, until we figured out what the problem was, the industry actually figured out what the problem was. It wasn't a problem with the system. It's just that the wireless systems in the house, that's the result that you would get if you were streaming from your phone and walking throughout your house between access points, regardless if you had great connectivity or not. Just the design of access points at the time had to go to zero before they picked up on the next access point that you might be standing right next to that gave you 100%. Mesh points are different. They're more intelligent, and regardless of what the signal is, it says, hey, you're standing closer to one that gives you better signal quality. Let's go ahead and seamlessly scoot you over to that one. So that's essentially what mesh is and how Eero operates and the difference between the Eero Pro and their beacon.
And Eero 6, is that Wi-Fi 6, the new standard? You know, people have maybe heard the terms AC Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi 6 operates in this new standard, 802.11ax, which is faster speeds, less congestion, you know, ability to handle lots and lots of devices. And not many Wi-Fi systems or routers are Wi-Fi 6 compatible, but I think Eero is one of the front runners with Wi-Fi 6.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly right. It does have that new Wi-Fi 6 connectivity for newer devices that are coming out. So that's exciting. I mean, they've always been a leader in their wireless distribution and devices that can connect to it. But what's also cool about their Eero 6, and so there's the Eero 6 and then the Eero 6 Pro. And in the Pro series, or those people that have like smart locks and smart lights, this kind of does away with the need of needing to have a dip built into the new Eero 6 Pro, which is super cool.
Yeah, so sorry if people listening, JJ's signal just broke up a little bit there, but it's fine. He's back on. Yeah, Wi-Fi 6, I think, will become more of a consumer term over the next year or two with devices becoming compatible with it. But for me, it provides another layer to separate devices, legacy devices, smart home devices, which might operate in the 2.4, 5 gigahertz, and then Wi-Fi 6 offering that higher end of the spectrum again, but at very high speeds, which is going to be crucial for things like 8K streaming, 4K with, you know, high resolution audio and all the things that are attached to that. That's where Wi-Fi 6 is going to have a real, do a lot of heavy lifting of high demand networks. So your customers very happy with Eero. Do they have any way of interacting with the network? Do they have an app?
Oh yeah.
We put in mesh systems. They all seem to have an app, although we haven't used Eero yet.
Yeah. The app is so user-friendly. And so there's a client facing app so they can see all the different devices that are connected to the network. You can set up profiles. So if you have kids that have wireless devices and you need to manage their access to the network, it's available to do that. So let's say every night at a certain time, you need these devices to go to sleep, you know, on the network, then you can set up a schedule for those devices not to be able to access the network. One of the coolest ones is their guest network. And it's just so easy to open up the app, turn on your guest network. You can set it its availability for a certain amount of time. So whenever guests come back over, they don't just automatically have the ability to get on your network. They have to get a new access to your internet. Which is super convenient and secure. Mm. You know, it's an extra layer of security. And I don't know if where you lost me, Gamble, but one cool thing about the Eero 6 Pros is it has Zigbee radio built into it. Did you catch that?
Yeah, that was the bit where you broke up. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it has a Zigbee radio built in. So if you have smart lights or smart locks, then there's no need for that additional hub because it's already built into the EuroPro 6 mesh point.
You know, that's something I predicted a long time ago, you know, not predicted, but had conversations with people about, where I always felt that the home router, the main hub for your incoming internet connection and all your wireless connections, I've always felt that should be multi-skilled. I felt that it should have talked wireless protocols that for your mobile devices and tablets and printers and smart TVs, but also should be talking some smart home protocols like low energy Bluetooth, like Zigbee, Z-Wave, like a Swiss Army knife kind of hub for the home with different antennas, different radio protocols built into it. And it's never really come. So to see that, and I guess that's an influence probably of Eero's association with Amazon. They're an Amazon-owned company, and therefore they're part of the melting pot of the Amazon suite of connected home products, whether it's their voice assistants, doorbells, cameras with Ring, and they have another brand, Blink. I think they own Blink as well, Amazon. You know, that's good to hear. I'm not sure if customers are maybe utilizing it yet, because I don't think it's getting into the public awareness that they've got these multi-talented boxes in their home.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's also cool about the Eero products is that they have the ability, or at least with the Eeros, is that you have the ability, whenever you're setting it up, it asks you, hey, if you bring any Amazon devices that are in the Amazon family, do you want it to set up quickly? In the sense that if you turn it on and plug it in, it automatically sends you a push notification, and you just say yes, and that device with the credentials that are already built into the Eero will automatically log it into the network. So it completely bypasses the need of setting up those devices, which makes it super user friendly and easy to use. The other thing that I was talking about with that app Gamble, there's a client facing app, but there's also a integrator, a home technology professional. And of course you need to be certified, and you need to fill out the application to have, but there's a dealer portal that is associated with Eero. And so if a client is in need or is having a challenge with their Eero product, the dealer can log in with the client's credentials and with their authorization and review their network, all the devices that are connected. If they need some assistance with their username or password, then those changes could be made remotely. And also you can diagnose and have some understanding of what is going on with the client's network remotely, to give them, you know, that extra added value. You don't necessarily need to roll a truck to help diagnose what might be going on with that system.
And the first part of the mesh system, does that plug into your internet service provider's modem? Do you still need that in the home?
Yeah, and so you can buy them in 3-packs. And each of the mesh devices, other than the beacon, are routers as well as mesh points. And you can choose for it to be the home's router, or you can choose for it just to, the very first one is where the choice is made. And you can choose for it to be a router or just a standalone mesh point. And I like using it as our router after the client's modem. Then we make the Eero the router. And then from there, we plug in the other 2 or 3 Eero mesh points throughout the house. They recognize the parent mesh point and become, you know, part of the family and just are used as standalone mesh points.
And you can keep growing. You can keep growing this system. Either you can wirelessly add more mesh points or beacons, or you can hardwire the mesh points. Not the beacons, though. The beacons are just plug-in only.
Yeah, and the mesh points you can either hardwire them, or they work wirelessly. So you're not tethered to mandatory need for hardwiring the the pro models. Because sometimes, I mean, let's face it, there's not areas that you can get a wire to after the fact without doing a tremendous amount of, you know, for y'all jackhammering the wall or chiseling the wall, for us cutting sheetrock. And clients sometimes are just fine. And with the Eero reliability and their speed transfers, it's amazing of what you can do wirelessly. As long as, you know, it's connected to the other mesh point with some reliability, and the app allows you to make that decision with confidence. And then of course you plug it in, you do a speed test and you can confirm that.
So just to review then, this is generic really for any mesh Wi-Fi system. You have your internet service provider's modem or hub. You take a cable from that and you plug that into your master mesh point. That's the first mesh point in your installation. You can then choose, if you wish, to wirelessly add further mesh points. So they will connect back to that master mesh point, which is plugged into the modem. Or if you have the infrastructure or are putting in new cabling, wire to those secondary mesh points and they become hardwired, giving another 100% output of signal strength and speed, which is as if you were right beside the router or the main mesh point, you'll get the same output from those wired mesh points. But if there's also gaps in between, there's a variation of the product which just plugs into a power socket or outlet,
yeah,
which you're calling the beacon, and other brands of other similar products that fills in the gaps. And I'm a big fan of these gap filling products because
it's great.
They help that transition from one side of the house to another where there's no dropouts, no stutter in an audio call. And people struggle with home Wi-Fi and think, oh, I'm going to move my internet service provider's modem to another part of the house. Or I'm going to, no, leave it where it is, where you get good speeds. Plug in the mesh system and grow your Wi-Fi network from a single mesh point to multiple dozens of mesh points can be used. And I don't think there's probably limits, but
yeah,
you have to have a huge place.
too much could be a bad thing.
Sure.
You know, you definitely start with one and you see where your signal is and then you place your next one. But it can stomp out your signal if you have too many too close together. Those beacons, Gamble, we use those so often out on the back patio for people that want to get good signal out by the pool or in their backyard and just want to extend that range. It transfers, it grabs that signal from inside the house and then redistributes it outside just so well. It's a great piece. The other cool thing about those beacons is it has like a little nightlight on there. And so if you happen to put it in a hallway or something like that, it illuminates the floor for you. And you can turn it off if you don't want it. But a lot of our clients are like, kind of like that CO2 or that CO sensor, you know, kind of has that little nightlight. Yeah.
I want one that shines the bat signal on the ceiling. You know, when I go to the toilet, like, oh, hold on, let me save the world after I've gone for a pee.
You want it to shine that customized logo.
Oh yeah, that would be a good one. Yeah. Make it more brand everything is what I see a lot on Instagram. Brand everything.
Yeah. Mine would be a finger pointing.
Which finger? What?
Go that way. the right one.
Yeah. Okay. Right one.
I guess it depends on who I'm talking to.
So with Wi-Fi, you know, one caveat I would say, if you're looking for a pro to put in your Wi-Fi system for you, whether it's a mesh system or a traditional wired Wi-Fi system, they should be talking about Wi-Fi coverage from your front gate to your back fence, from the basement to the top floor. If they're not talking that kind of coverage, then they may not be the right pro for your installation. They may not have the right products for your installation. Wi-Fi for me should be whole property wide. And that's where JJ talked about having outdoor access in the pool, on the patio, and on the lawn. I truly take on the whole property when I go into a customer's home to review their Wi-Fi. And the result of that is a happy customer, because they've got it wherever they are in their property. And a lot of systems we've taken over, we see great coverage indoors, but the customer can't connect to their home network outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Gamble, although there's a lot of DIY solutions, there's something to be said for configuring your network. It is plug and play, but you have to have some understanding of how a network functions in a house with IP addresses and IP address assignments. And, you know, you can put in an awesome mesh point, but our mesh system. But like I was saying, an easy mistake is too many is too much. And so appropriately spacing them is crucial. Knowing what your IP addresses are and how IP addresses are assigned is crucial. I always explain it to clients, like whenever you have two routers in a house, it's like having two Indian chiefs in your house, because they're telling devices, you know, who they need to be or what IP address they need to have. And when you have two routers sending out two IP addresses, or like two Indian chiefs in the same house, they're fighting it against each other, which never allows for any type of reliable connectivity in your home. So having an understanding of at least a basic understanding of how a network operates in a house goes a long way. And for those that don't want to have that basic understanding, or just want to get it done right in a very short amount of time, call a home technology professional, find one. You can find them on Google, like Gamble was saying, on Instagram. There's a lot of great firms out there that can help you establish a good, reliable network. Look up a Wi-Fi pro or Wi-Fi professional or Wi-Fi installer in Google. And get your network set up correctly. And I think everybody might have heard that there's something obvious that's not part of our normal conversation. You'll never hear Gamble and I, you'll never hear me say, call your internet service provider out to help you get good connectivity. Because no. If you just try to get basic service in your house, you know how painful that process was. So find yourself a home technology professional who's trained, that has, you know, that is their focus, and get it done right. Just make the family happy. It's the foundation of your smart home.
That goes for any of the tech in your home. You know, there's maybe a minimum service level you can expect from your internet provider, your TV provider, maybe, you know, security companies. When you start diving into the details of a home network, and if you're not, you know, aware of the pitfalls of not having it set up right, you know, whether that's major things like the security of your network or just that free flowing traffic around your network, and having things like the wrong addresses, and maybe also having conflicts on wireless channels and the interference that could be caused of things clashing, whether it's a nearby property or a device that's not happy on a certain channel. If to navigate around that yourself, and even to imagine your internet service provider troubleshooting that with you, they're not even going to go to those kind of depths. And whether it's retrofit, quick in and out installations, or a long-term project, your home technology pro is your master of many services, or your the controller of a lot of services, and bringing them all together, whether it's your smart lighting, your smart heating controls, your TV and music streaming, your security products, wired and wireless. They know how to handle a home full of wireless frequencies. That's the skill that they've built up, that they're able to manage that. And they've chosen products for their performance and reliability. And you can go and get a DIY product and, oh, I saw this on Kickstarter, I saw this on Amazon, I saw this on, you know, somebody on Instagram was posting this product. You can introduce a world of pain onto your network if you choose the wrong product that it can screw up a previously happy home for technology and make it a needle in a haystack trying to work out what's going on. So yeah. Have that Home Tech Pro local to you that you work with on many, many projects and installations in your home. Find a good one, work with them, and have a happy Home Tech experience.
Yeah, Gamble. I mean, nothing is worse than a client with good intentions and the desire to have, you know, tech in their house, and they go and buy good brands. But the problem is those good brands don't necessarily work together. You know, that's the worst feeling.
Well, of the good things is you have your big three home assistants can put a sticking plaster or plug the gaps with your Amazon, Google Assistant, and HomeKit, Apple Home.
Via
voice. But, you know, they have their app that can give you a link between a security product and a lighting product in a workaround fashion. But again, I believe you have to be a pro to know these workarounds. The amount of times you got to think on your feet, JJ, how can I make this a better solution for this customer? Ah, I can use this. And then you've got to migrate lots of things onto a new app or.
Dude, you're not joking, man. thinking on the fly and trying to find finding yourself in a pickle of how to incorporate what the client has invested in to perform better. The reward for that sometimes is just amazing, you know, particularly when the client has already made an investment in something and they don't realize that it can actually do that. And they're like, you got to be kidding me. I had that. It just adds that extra value and appreciation for having that home technology professional, you know, in their house.
Well, you've hyped me up, JJ, and immediately after this podcast, I'm going to go and increase my prices. I feel far more valued now, far more valuable. But, you know, we close out every episode with JJ's now famous saying, not infamous saying, like I've got notoriety for becoming infamous, apparently. If you don't know, go ahead. You don't know.
If you don't know, find a home tech pro. But one more thing that I wanted to say, because we get a lot of comments and questions about who are we, you know, who are these two cats that are putting out these podcasts every week? And I'm JJ Cannon, CEO of Digital Delight. You can find us here in the Houston, Texas area and surrounding areas. Our website is digitaldelight.com, and we create very user-friendly experiences using manufacturers that are well-known in the industry and consumer electronics, and make them enjoyable, minimalistic, compact, easy to use, affordable solutions. So if you ever need some assistance, check us out, look us up, give us a ring.
And I'm JJ's co-host over in the UK. I run a business called Customized. We're based in Norwich. We cover the east of England and London. We've been in business over 12 years now. Have lots and lots of happy, happy clients. And we enjoy making people's homes smart. We enjoy the process of turning dumb homes into smart homes, turning woeful experiences into wonderful experiences. And you can find us at customized.uk.com.
All right, Gambler. Now, if you don't know, find a Home Tech Pro.
Nailed it.